Next up is Anthony Griffith. Anthony is a comedian, but we should warn you that the story he's about to tell is not funny. In fact, I think it's one of the saddest stories we've ever presented at the Moth, and you might find it too intense for your kids to hear. But Anthony was very clear that the time had come for him to tell this story. Here's Anthony live at the Moth.
Charles Dickens' classic tale, Tale of Two Cities, starts off with the phrase, "It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times." In 1990, I moved from Chicago with my family to L.A. to seek my fame and fortune, and in a couple of weeks of being there, I got two important phone calls. One was from the talent coordinator for The Tonight Show, offering me to have a spot as a comedian on The Tonight Show, and the second call was that my daughter's doctor had called up to say that her cancer had resurfaced. A year prior, she was diagnosed with cancer, and we fought it, and it went into remission, and now it's back. And for that next year, my life was pretty surreal, because it's like two different personalities. During the day, in order to keep my daughter at home with me, I would have to learn CPR and how to work a heart monitor and administer medicine, all these technical terms, and take her back and forth, to get her platelets and blood and check up on her. And at night, I would go from club to club with the talent coordinator, and I would work on my set and try to perfect it. And I would meet veterans like George Wallace and Seinfeld and Roseanne. And I thought that everything was great because we had beat the cancer before we could beat it again. And this was the first time that I was going to be in front of millions of people on The Tonight Show. And the first time on The Tonight Show, I was extremely nervous. All I could think about while I was backstage being introduced was, don't mess up. Just don't mess up. Whatever you do, don't mess up. And the curtains open, and there's 600 people, and the cameras, and Johnny's over there, and the band is over there. And I don't know what I said for the next 6 minutes, but I got six applause breaks. And the great part of that night was that I was going to my car, and I met Johnny, who was going to his car. And it was just a private moment between us in the parking lot of him saying, "You were very funny. You're extremely funny. Start working on your second Tonight Show, because I want you back." By the time I got the official call for my second Tonight Show, my daughter, was admitted to the hospital. If you don't know about cancer, when it comes back, it comes back hard. It's like beating up a gangbanger for the first time, and then it's coming back, and he's coming back meaner and stronger, and he's coming with his friends. So in order to compensate for that, you have to raise the chemo, and you have to raise the medicine, and you have to raise the radiation, which is difficult for an adult, but she was only two. So she's bald, which she doesn't mind because every kid in the ward is bald. And she thinks this is a part of life. And she can't keep her food down. And you're not prepared for this. There's no books. There's no home ed class to teach you how to deal with this. And you can't go to a therapist because in the black world, a therapist is taboo, as reserved for rich white people. So you're trying to figure it out. What did I do? Maybe it's something I did. Maybe it's something my wife did. Maybe my doctor diagnosed it erroneously, something. But at night, I still have to be a comic. I have to work on The Tonight Show because that's what I'm going to do. I'm a clown. I'm a clown whose medical bills are raising, who's one step from being evicted, who's one step from getting his car repoed, and I have to come out
and make you laugh because no one wants to hear the clown in pain because that's not funny. And my humor is becoming dark and it's biting and it's becoming hateful. And the talent coordinator is seeing that there's a problem because the NBC is all about nice and just everything is going to be okay. And we're starting to buck horns because he wants everything light and I want to be honest and tell life. And I'm hurting and I want everybody else to hurt. Because somebody is to blame for this. So I buck up and I suppress my anger and I form and develop a nice, cute routine for the second Tonight Show. And I get applause breaks and I get asked to come back for a third time. And I'm perfecting my third set. And the doctor asked me to come in. And I know something's wrong because even the doctor is crying. And doctors don't cry. And he said that we've done all we can. There's nothing else for us to do. And I said, how much time does she have? And he said, at the most, 6 weeks. And I should plan for that. And I'm thinking, how do I plan for that? I haven't planned to buy her first bicycle. I haven't planned to walk her to school. I haven't planned to take pictures of her on her prom. I haven't planned to walk her down the aisle to get married. How am I going to plan to buy her a dress to be buried in? And I'm trying to keep it together because I'm the man and I'm the man of the house and I don't want to cry, but it's coming. And I'm trying to tell myself, Tony, I'm trying to beg the world. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. Just let me take a breath. Just stop just for a minute. I want to call my parents and tell them, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm a grown man and I don't know what to do. And a voice in me comes up like Denzel from Training Day. Man up, nigga! You think you're the only one losing kids today? 25 kids walked in here with cancer, only 5 walking out. This ain't no sitcom. It don't wrap up all nice and tidy in 30 minutes. This is life. Welcome to the real world. And he was right. So I bucked up because that's what I'm supposed to do. And on my third Tonight Show, by that time my daughter had died. And I had 6 applause breaks that night. No one knew I was mourning. No one knew that I could care less about the Tonight Show or Johnny Carson. In 1990, I had 3 appearances with the legendary Johnny Carson and a total of 14 applause breaks. And I would have given it all if I could just have one more day sharing a bag of French fries with my daughter. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Thank you.
That was Anthony Griffin. We first met Anthony when we were going to a comedy festival, and we wanted the comedians to challenge themselves and consider telling serious stories. And that's when Anthony suggested telling this story. When he first told us the story over the phone, we were crying and he was crying, and we thought, is this too much? Are you sure you want to do this? And he said, listen, it's been 13 years since my daughter died, and it's time. I have to tell this story, and I have to tell it at this festival where there will be all these people from the comedy industry. They need to hear what it's like to be a clown with a broken heart. We said, Anthony, you have to be able to tell this story without crying. You won't be ready until you can do that. And it took months, but he got there. And then, of course, when he got in front of a real live audience, all the emotions welled up. I was worried he wouldn't get through it, but then from the depths of Anthony and years of grief came the anger in the Denzel Washington moment. We'd never seen this in Anthony before. That's the nature of live storytelling. You never know what's going to happen in the moment.